I'm sorry, I had to. Again, I don't think this will be the new norm. This will be. Making sure everybody at home sees that. Quarantine with purpose. I really struggled with this one because I had so many thoughts, and I want to keep this brief, but as you those of you who know me know that I struggle with that, the brief part. In fact, I had was on a phone call with a customer this week, and I was I needed to bridge in our director of infrastructure. It was a big cabling job, and so I put him on hold while I called this woman that was in charge in Arizona, and we got to talking, and the next thing I know, I'm telling stories like I like to do, and I forgot about Carlos being on hold. And so I said, "Well," we started getting to the actual business of the call finally after about 15 minutes, and I said, "Oh, the reason I called you was I need you to speak with Carlos." And so when I bridged Carlos in, I said, "Carlos, I'm sorry." I started telling stories, and he goes, "I know you, Tommy. You don't have to explain. I knew what happened when I it went longer than about 30 seconds." Well, I talked to two of my good brothers this week, and I just called them and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they said, "I'm working out in the yard." And I said, "Really?" And both of them said similar things that, "Yeah, my wife is practicing social distancing by having me work out in the yard." And I told both of these good brothers, sincerely, "Whatever you do, do not let your wife talk to my wife, because I don't want to be out in the yard." Not that I do that anymore anyway. But anyway, I thought that was funny. This morning, I want to ask everybody, are you a glass half empty? Or is the glass half full type of person? And what should we be like as a Christian? And when I was thinking about this quarantine with purpose, I was like, okay, we need to be responsibly concerned. There is no doubt about everything that's going on. And I started thinking about it, and I started thinking in my past. In fact, I stopped telling some of the stories that actually happened to me because I got the impression that people didn't believe me. But they're all true, although over time, as most stories do, I like to exaggerate. Like if the bass was only this big by the time I get home, it was the one. It's always the one that you lost, the one that got away, right? And so I'm guilty of that. There's no doubt. There was a youth minister. You ever had? Well, I know you do. You got those people that cross your path in life that are just unforgettable. You can't forget them. And this guy that I'm about to talk about is one of those guys. He was a youth minister, and this was years and years ago. In fact, we were at a different session of Camp Bandina, which we've been at the same session since I've been here, and even before I've been here, I was taking the kids to the same session. This is even before that. So this is a long time ago. And this youth minister came across my path, and he made an impact on my life. And of course, I was a lot younger then, but his name was Mike Cuba, and everybody just called him Cuba. Kind of like Cuba Gooding Jr., you know, Cuba. And this guy ran triathlons and marathons, and he did it barefoot. And so at Camp Bandina, you have to get up really early, and so I'd get up before the sun would come up, and sometimes I'd even be in the same cabin with him, and I'd see him get up. And if you've ever been around the Bandera area, it's very rocky, it's very prickly. They even tell the kids coming to camp, don't be bringing your flip-flops. This isn't a flip-flop kind of place. And so I'd see this man get up at 4:30 in the morning, and he would go for a run all the way till breakfast, and he would go out barefooted, and he would run. And the first time I saw him do it, I said, man, aren't your feet beat up? And he told me that he did it so much that his feet had grown tough. And he would run these triathlons and marathons without any shoes on. And this guy was incredible. I mean, even in the best shape of my life, I never wanted to run a marathon or a triathlon. It was not in my DNA. And this guy made an impression on me. Well, the first time I ever heard him speak was at back when we used to have these big bonfires in the back of the property. And Bandinas, and all the kids know this. It's on the top of this very large hill. You have to drive up this hill. In fact, they know it well because when we have baptisms, we have to walk down that hill, which is the easy part. But walking back up it is a pretty steep walk. And so we used to have these giant bonfires. The guy that managed the property would, as he was clearing brush and trees throughout the off season, if you will, he would put up at the back of the property at a big burn pile. And this thing would be as taller than I am. And we had one night that we would always have these big bonfires. And we haven't done it in years and years and years because of the drought situations. And it was just too dangerous, even though it was in a big field. But you couldn't get water out there. It's so far from the rest of the camp. And he, around this bonfire, when it came time for the Devo after we were done singing, he gets up in front of this bonfire and he just asks everybody, what is your purpose? And then he said it again, what is your purpose? Is it to go to college? Is it to make money? He goes, no, I don't want you to think about all that. I want you to think about what is your purpose here, not at this camp, but here on this earth. Why are you here? We know that David wrote that God even knew him when he was in the secret place inside of his mother's womb. He knew us before. From the moment we were conceived, he knew us. And that made me think about quarantine and purpose. And I'm going to tell y'all something right now, and I really want this to sink in. Do not worry. Do not worry. I'm going to say it one more time. Do not worry. Those are not Tommy Haggerty's words. They're not. You know who that came from? Came straight from the mouth of Jesus. And I want everybody to turn with me to Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. And we have read this and read this and read this. And we need to read it again. And I think we need to read it every day right now. And like I said before, we need to have legitimate, responsible concern. So don't think I'm not respecting that. We obviously are by streaming this and not having our gathering. We are listening to our local, state, and national officials, and we are following those orders. We are social distancing. Well, I don't like to call it social distancing. It's physical distancing, because socially we're still communicating. And so there's a big difference between legitimate, responsible concern and worry. But what do most of us do? And the reason that I'm talking about this section of my lesson today is because anytime I do a lesson, it's because I need it. I need to hear it. I need to think about it. I need to read it. And in Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what will we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I underlined every time in that brief passage that he says, do not worry. You know, we as Christians, and I would say most people, and I don't mean to make light of our Lord and Savior and his sacrifice and the way he died. I'm using this just as an example. But we are crucified, all of us, between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow are the thieves. And we need to let go of yesterday, and we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We need to live right here, right now, and we need to focus on that. Because worry will consume you. That's where the wrong comes in. That's where we allow the evil one to come in. And that's what he wants right now, is he wants us to be in a state of panic. Not legitimate concern, but worry and panic. There's a big difference between those two things. And the difference is this, and I'm guilty of it. That's why I am talking about this. I am preaching to myself. The difference is legitimate concern, responsible concern, but where it turns into something different is when you try to go to sleep at night, and I struggle with this, and worry says, oh, no, you're not. You're going to think about this. You're going to think about this until it makes you sick. Some people, even now with this concern and this worry, they'll get to the point of a nervous breakdown, and I've been close to it. I know what being near to it is. I've witnessed other people go through it where their body is uncontrollably shaking and they're sweating and they cannot even formulate a thought because they're so consumed by it. And we need to listen to what Jesus is saying. Do not worry. We need to be responsible, but we don't need to let this. In fact, when we were reading, and we're going to read it again in a minute, when that last scripture that Connor read, where Paul's in prison and he says, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, I am chained, but it cannot be chained. And I want to switch that word just for this time period. The gospel of Christ cannot be quarantined. It cannot be isolated. It's God is so much bigger than that. And notice what Jesus says to them when he's talking about not worrying. He says, and he said it multiple times throughout the scriptures, ye of little faith. He doesn't say they have no faith. They've got little faith. And I think that a lot of us struggle with that, is that we believe in God. We talk about it all the time, but we exhibit little faith. And I want to talk about how we can grow that and how at this time it's more important than anything. And think about the opportunity right now. Yeah, this is bad. And my goodness, you think about how booming the economy was, and you look at the stock market now, and it's in the tank. And there's so many things that we can that we rightfully should be concerned about, but that we're worrying about. And why are we worrying? Jesus, the same reason they did back then, because they had little faith. And I want to expound upon that a little bit. I watched a movie that I hadn't seen in years, and I watched it in March, and it was a movie called Outbreak. Some of y'all may have seen it. Dustin Hoffman, Rene Russo's in it. It's a really good movie. It's well done, and it's really scary. And there's one scene in this movie that really struck me, and they're in the I believe they're in the Situation Room or the War Room or whatever they call it at the White House. I think it's down in the basement. And the epidemiologist is standing in front of this virtual map of the United States behind him. And he points to, because what had happened is this monkey that was infected with Ebola had got to the United States and scratched a man. And it scratched him. And the next scene shows this man in a crowded movie theater, and he sneezes. And they show the sneeze and the droplets going throughout the... It actually, people are breathing it in. So he's pointing on this map at Ground Zero, where this guy was found to test positive, and it was a red dot on the map. And then he said, within 12 hours, it's going to be this much. And it had a bigger red circle. Within 24 hours, it's going to be this much. And it was a much bigger circle. And then it said within 72 hours, the whole country was red. And, of course, they had to take action. They had to be responsible. They had to do something to keep that from happening. But I started thinking about right now at work, and I'm so thankful that we're doing it, every Thursday at 11 o'clock, we have a Bible study, and it's open to anyone. And we call in to our bridge, and we recently finished up with the book of John. Now we're in Acts. And it reminded me of that movie, because Jesus was at one point was talking about, in fact, I want to turn over to Acts 1 real quick. And this is the scripture that made me think about it. Acts 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, the red dot, Ground Zero. And in all Judea and Samaria, a bigger circle. And to the ends of the earth. The gospel is like a virus, but a good one. It doesn't bring harm. It brings good. And I'm seeing so much good right now that's going on. I went over to a good brother's house yesterday, and I'm not going to say his name because everybody's going to be calling him. But he called me. I got to watch time. I get off my stories. He called me, and I'm sitting on the front porch drinking coffee. And I tell him, man, it got cool outside. And he goes, I know, I had to put a jacket on. And I said, yeah, I'm sitting out here with my jacket on and my short britches, and it's cold. And he just says, well, brother, put on your big boy pants and come get yourself a brisket. He cooked my family a brisket. And so it was just a wonderful time just for him to think of us. And we are enjoying it. Brother, thank you. Anyway, I'm seeing a lot of good going on. And in fact, I want to tell this story because I quarantined myself from my office, and one of my sisters that I worked with was like, Tommy, I know you think you're Superman, but you've got a heart condition, you've had liver problems in the past, and you need to be careful. And so I moved my office up here to the church building. I've been working on a church building because I can't work from home because all the kids are on the internet. Slows it down. My cell signal is terrible. I was able to move my office desk phone here and able to conduct business here as usual. And so anyway, I've been noticing that our neighbor, Amber, and she reached out to me when her father passed away, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and I hadn't seen him in a while. There's other people been at the house, but I hadn't seen him. And so I noticed he's been working at the very back of his, towards the back of his property on something. I thought it was something to do with septic. And I noticed when I saw him, I noticed that he was kind of, my term is kind of gimping around, kind of limping and gimping. And so when I was leaving, I pulled over there and I said, man, how's it going? And he told me what he was doing. I learned more in talking with him for 20 minutes about him than I've known the whole time I've known him. And we kept our distance. And he said that he grew up on a farm and he's always been fascinated with water. And he said that he had, from the bar ditch out front, he had dug a trench by hand on the other side of his property all the way to the pond in the back. He's got a pond back there. And he goes, all this water, every time it rains, I see it running down our property and down your property. It's being wasted. And so I got this pump, and it was free. I didn't have to pay for it. And I'm putting it in the ground. So what he did is he put a line over to the trench that he built. So when all this water is running down to the back of his property, this pump will pump it over to the ditch and into the pond. I was like, man, that's pretty smart. And then I said, well, how are you doing? And he said that he just got out of the ICU and that he had an appendicitis and his appendix actually burst inside his body. And they were going to lifeline him to Methodist. And he said that his daughter found him. He was unconscious on the floor. And he said the doctors told him when he got there, while they were doing the surgery, that he flatlined twice and they had to bring him back. And I said, man, what are you doing out here working? And he said, I just can't sit around. And I said, man, you need to take it easy. And then I see Amber's daughter, Justice and Mally, and they see me and they come running over to me and they hug me. They don't understand social distancing right now. And they hug me. And the first thing, I said, hey, I love you guys. I've been missing you. We've been at our dad's. Found out a lot of stuff. I could keep talking about that forever. And Mally looks up at me and said, my mom got a job. And I said, she did. And then Daniel starts telling me about her job. And I was like, you know what? I'm not bragging on myself at all. But that only took a minute for me to stop and talk to that man. And when we're in this quarantine, there's so much positivity that can be accomplished during this time. We can actually draw closer to God. We can draw closer to each other. And when I told him, I said, look, if you need anything, you let me know. And he looks at me and I can tell it in his eyes that he believed me. He trusted me. That I would do everything I could to help him. And we need to use this time. I'm guilty of it. Don't just spend all your time watching Netflix. Because I'm guilty of that. I watch a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of documentaries in particular. But when is the last time that the country got put on pause? Not in my lifetime that I can remember. Not like this. And if we truly are Christians, it's like every day I'm still working. Thank God I still have a job because so many of my friends and brothers and sisters don't right now. And I don't know if that will last because of the way things are going. But we should, just like in our daily lives, no matter what's going on as Christians, and basically, the book of Philemon is, you know, even if you're a slave, Be the best slave you can be. Live according to God's word and try to emulate Christ in everything you do. So I'm still working as hard as I can. And it's hard to focus because all this other distractions going on. But the kids are home. Everybody's home. Sometimes everybody gets frustrated with one another and it gets on each other's nerves. But we need to spend this time in the best way that we can with a purpose. What is your purpose? The purpose of this quarantine is to try to keep this disease from spreading more. But what can we do right now? Should we just ball up in the fetal position and cry in the corner? No. In Timothy, in the scripture, it says God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love. And so we need to be, we can't be going over to each other's homes and hanging out like we normally would. But man, we can sure call one another. We can pray for one another. We can study with one another. There's so many things that we can do. We need to take this time. And remember when you were a kid? Remember when your children were small? What was the centerpiece of the house for most of you? It was the kitchen table. Birthdays were there. Discipline was done there. Problems were discussed there. Make that the centerpiece of your house again. And we need to get together and pull together during this time. And I promise to keep this brief. So as we're gathering together, and I picture us gathering around our tables and discussing things, discussing this, discussing opportunities that we have now as Christians. Because what is our charge? We have a job as Christians. Our charge is to spread the gospel. It can't be chained. It can't be quarantined. And we don't have to do that from preaching. We can do that by how we live, how we treat other people, just by caring for people. That's how they're going to know we're Christians, not by preaching. It's going to be by our love. And that's where it's at. That's what James is talking about, putting our Christianity in action. You know, judge my faith by what I do, is what he says. Watch what I do. I'm showing you my faith. You can't, it's not about deeds. But if you are living in accordance and trying to truly clothe yourself in Christ and emulate him, you're going to be acting like him, especially in the humility sector of that. But it ain't about us, it's about him. And that's where the love of Christ can be shared amongst ourselves. We need to be taking care of our own, but also those around us, our neighbors. Because what an opportunity. So many people are scared. So many people are worried. I'm guilty of it too. But we need to pull together as Christians. And lastly, Tommy, how do we do that? How do we not cross that line between responsible concern and worry? Well, I think that Jesus tells us in that passage in Matthew 6 that I just read, go bird watching. Take a few minutes, go outside and watch the birds. You ever seen a bird with an ulcer? They don't worry. They may get them, but it ain't from worry. Because of the design of God, we've got to realize, and I think this is where the little faith part comes in, we don't truly, our understanding is not truly wrapped around, our minds aren't wrapped around how big God actually is and how powerful he actually is and how he's going to take care of us. Paul talks about nothing, not death, not authorities, not principalities, not even angels, not even death can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. So why worry? Why worry about your life? We need to be more concerned about our soul than our life. That does not mean that we're not responsible and that we don't take precautions, but we don't cross that line of responsible concern to worry. And how do we do that? I'm going to give you the secret sauce. And I want to go back to Matthew chapter 6 real quick, because that's where Jesus gives us the secret sauce. There's two things that God can't do. Well, Tommy, I thought God could do anything. Well, there's two things he can't do. He can't sin. God can't sin. And he can't be second. He can't be second. So in Matthew 6, this is the secret sauce right here. In verse 33, remember, he can't be second. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So the secret sauce is this. Put him first. Yes, responsible concern. Follow what our authorities are recommending and telling us we have to do. But don't cross that line from concern to worry. And believe me, I struggle with it. Because if we put him first, and how you know that you're doing that is that when you're tempted and you have to make a decision to sin or to do it God's way, and you choose to do it God's way, you're following him. And you start noticing that if he's winning that argument the majority of the time, you're starting to get it. You're getting the secret sauce that Jesus was talking about. Because putting him first, it's not just philosophical. It's got to be functional. So we can't just talk about it. We've got to actually live it in our personal lives, in our decision-making. Everything needs to be about putting his will first. Whatever that is, if he's winning the majority of the decision-making in everything, your first thought should be like what Brian mentioned a few minutes ago. What would Jesus do? And that needs to be the choice that is made. And I know it's a struggle. It's a spiritual warfare going on. And right now during this quarantine, that's going on hardcore right now. And we need to realize it. We need to see the unseen. We need to see the things that the enemy is doing and the spiritual enemy. And we need to focus on that through prayer, through read this scripture. If you don't read anything else, read this one 10 times a day. And I just think I want to be encouraging to everyone, because Jesus is saying to us, do not worry, be concerned, but don't worry. And we know that this world is not our home. It's just temporary. We're just passing through. He talks about our life being nothing but a vapor. And we all know what a vapor is. You see it 1 second and it's gone the next. And so we need to realize that God always upholds his promises. Jesus is preparing a place for us. And I just imagine how wonderful it must be, because he's making a place for you and me. All this time he's been working on it. So it must be incredible. Something for us to focus on and to reevaluate what our state of mind is, what our emotional state is right now, and to realize that we need to come together, we need to focus on his word and focus on his will. And if there's anybody here this morning that needs prayers, anybody out there that needs prayers, please make it known to us. You can email us, you can call us, you can text us. Anybody that needs to be put on their Lord in baptism, we have the ability to baptize here. We will send, one of us will come out to your home, to your pool. We'll go to the pond. We will social distance as best we can, but we will take care of that today. So if there's any need, please come forward now as we stand and sing.
Our song is Living by Faith, and the page number or hymn